from KQED.
This is the California Report podcast. I'm Lily Jamali. President Trump is expected to sign an order declaring a national emergency at the southern border. It's an attempt to get the wall funding that was not included in the bipartisan deal reached Thursday to keep the government open. So we called up Burbank Congressman Adam Schiff, a Democrat, and Sierra Foothills Congressman Tom McClintock, a Republican, to ask them both for their thoughts on the president's approach. Let's start with Congressman McClintock, who spoke with my colleague, Polly Stryker.
Is this a legal move that the president is making?
Oh, absolutely. This is a law that dates back to 1976. It's been invoked 58 times. There are 31 national emergencies currently in effect, declared by various presidents. It involves everything from the 9/11 attack to the civil war in Sierra Leone.
It seems that the Democrats might challenge this in court. How do you think that'll go?
Well, I think they'll challenge anything that he tries to do in court, but he's on very solid legal ground. Again, this is not an unprecedented action. This is a power that's been invoked by presidents 58 separate times.
To take a line from Speaker Pelosi, is this not an end run around Congress to get funding?
Well, Congress has already appropriated funds for military construction and already given the president the authority to reprogram those funds if he thinks there is a higher national defense priority than what they have been earmarked for.
So this won't set a sort of precedent for future presidents who, say, aren't getting their way with something just to say, okay, fine, I'm just going to declare an emergency on whatever.
Well, as I said, the precedent has already been set 58 separate times when this law has been invoked in the years since it was enacted in 1976.
That was Republican Congressman Tom McClintock. Now, Democrat Adam Schiff has a very different answer, as you might imagine, to the question of whether the president has the power to do this. We put that question to him. Here's what he had to say.
No, absolutely not. It's a plainly unconstitutional act, and it's hard to imagine a weaker case than the one that the White House will be forced to defend in court, than a situation where Congress has considered a problem, Congress has acted on the problem and passed the border security bill, but because it's not to the president's liking, he's going to declare an emergency. If every time a president didn't get what they wanted, they could declare an emergency, we'd be in a constant state of emergency. That is certainly not what Congress contemplated. It's not what our Constitution contemplates. So I think it's almost certainly going to be struck down.
So is the plan to challenge this in court?
Yes, and to challenge it in the Congress as well. We'll take up a resolution of disapproval, which is provided for under the rules, and it will be, frankly, a real test of the Republican Party's dedication to the Constitution.
What sort of standing would this have in court?
Well, you know, the court will look at both the statute that authorizes the declaration of an emergency as well as the Constitution. And there is simply, I think, no plausible reading of either statute or Constitution that would say that a problem that the Congress has considered and voted on, because it has chosen a different policy response, is somehow an emergency.
That was Congressman Adam Schiff speaking with the California Report's Polly Stryker. Governor Gavin Newsom toured parts of the Camp Fire burn zone Thursday, a day after signing legislation to stabilize local school funding. North State Public Radio's Mark Albert has more.
Through the quirks of California's spending system, local schools are primarily funded by property taxes. With the destruction of roughly 90% of Paradise and surrounding communities, the financial hit is huge. Newsom delivered good news to local elected officials at Pine Ridge Elementary in Magalia, one of the few schools in the burn zone to survive virtually unscathed.
We signed legislation yesterday committing something the state of California has never committed to any community, and that's 3 years to offset and backfill 100% of the property tax losses of this community, and also to do the same for our school system.
The governor's visit coincided with a bus tour organized by the California Forestry Association for state legislators and local officials who also visited Pine Ridge. Assemblyman James Gallagher praised the governor for swiftly signing the tax measure and called for more action.
We need to do better on forestry management. We know that. Without this buildup of fuels, we wouldn't have had this kind of devastation. And so we want to bring back the logging industry, you know, that's provided a lot of jobs to this area.
Former Paradise Fire Chief Jim Brochiers credited the elementary school's survival to the tenacious efforts of firefighters and to brush clearance around the school. Little is left of the surrounding neighborhood. For the California Report, I'm Mark Albert in Magalia.
Fighting blazes like the campfire is expensive, and in 7 of the past 10 years, California has blown through its firefighting budget. Now, some state leaders are proposing a novel way to pay for those overruns. KQED political correspondent Marisa Lagos reports.
In the fiscal year that ended last July, California spent nearly $1 billion fighting wildfires, more than double what the state had set aside for the year. Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara and State Senator Bill Dodd say they have an elegant solution to those frequent cost overruns. Take out an insurance policy. Here's Lara.
It works just like your home insurance, but for our actual state. You pay a premium each year, and we are protected. If a disaster strikes, once you cover the deductible, the plan pays you back for your losses.
The proposal wouldn't require the state to take out an insurance policy, but would authorize the governor, insurance commissioner, and treasurer to explore the possibility. For the California Report, I'm Marisa Lagos in Sacramento.
When Governor Gavin Newsom gave his first State of the State address this week, he hit hard on his goal to create more affordable housing, a lot of it. He called out cities he believes haven't done enough to build new housing, and one in particular has taken the brunt of the governor's frustration. KCRW's Saul Gonzalez reports.
Oh, 65-year-old Mike Carltalk earns extra cash by playing his guitar and singing on the Huntington Beach Pier. Couples stroll by, people play volleyball and surf. It's a relaxed, easy vibe. But Mike's life isn't easy because he can't find an affordable place to live in this affluent city of 200,000 people in North Orange County.
Well, the prices of rent and everything, it's just like crazy.
And may I ask, sir, how are you living right now?
I just live in my truck.
The state says Huntington Beach isn't doing enough to help people like Mike, as well as low-wage workers trying to live here. So, last month, California filed a first-of-its-kind lawsuit against Huntington Beach. The suit seeks to force the city to build more housing or risk losing state transportation funds. Critics of Huntington Beach, like housing advocate Cesar Covarrubias, say it's time to play hardball with the city.
Well, I think there needs to be political will to address the issue of housing, and we haven't seen that leadership happen there.
How does Huntington Beach respond? City Attorney Michael Gates says Sacramento has no constitutional authority over local zoning issues, like housing. The city has filed its own lawsuit against the state.
Huntington Beach is not going to be looking for fights, I can assure you that, but Huntington Beach is going to be pushing back when it feels that Sacramento has overreached.
Gates also notes Huntington Beach has built housing in recent years, but a lot of it isn't that affordable, like a new 500-unit apartment complex where rents start at over $3,000 a month. Back at the pier, Mike Carltalk thinks Huntington Beach just doesn't want poor and working-class people living within its city limits.
You know, there's got to be a way for we could all, for people of low income and upper income to live together, but a lot of those people in upper income fear people with lower income.
In a State of the State speech, Governor Newsom said he wants to meet with officials from 47 cities that haven't met their affordable housing goals to talk about solutions. For the California Report, I'm Saul Gonzalez in Huntington Beach.
Before we go, it's official now that Amazon will not establish a new headquarters in New York City. As those rumors were swirling, dozens of housing and workers groups across the country, including several here in California, sent the company's CEO a letter. "Dear Jeff," they wrote, "you can leave us off your list." Turns out there won't be a new, highly hyped search for another spot, including LA, which had made Amazon's shortlist. And that's the California Report for Friday, February 15th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Danny Bringer and Katie McMurrin, with additional engineering from Jim Bennett, Chris Hoff, Steve Fox, and Seal Muller. I'm Lily Jamali. Have a great weekend.
Sacramento. Support for the California Report comes from the California Healthcare Foundation, featuring Listening to Mothers in California, a new survey that reveals what is and isn't working with maternity care in the Golden State, on the web at chcf.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.